Right, we're in the famous chapter of Matthew 23. Now we note here, there's somewhere, 234 of your text, says the parable of the gnat and the camel. You notice down just a little bit further, Father, I guess would be the word to use there. Jesus intended his simile to be absurd. Now, I want to note that so many of the times this writer calls a simile a parable. I like to try to make the designation between parables and the other figures of speech, especially along this line. A parable is more of a story used to get across a spiritual truth to those who have spiritual perception, and to hide the truth from those who have rejected the truth. Now, simile is more or less a word figure. Now, that's the difference. And here in Matthew 23 and 24, he makes this statement. We've noted it a number of times. Ye blind guides, filtering out a gnat and gulping down a camel. Now, evidently, this was a real camel, and he wanted it to be absurd so that the people would take note. Now, these scribes and Pharisees were the religious leaders. They were the ones who loved to sit in Moses' seat. They're the guys who like to wear the collar backwards if they had on a collar, and to be called rabbi and all of this, that, and the other in the public places, all the honor and the glory that could be heaped upon the reverends and things like that. Now, these are the guys that oppose Jesus Christ. Now, we do read later on in the scriptures, there were a number of occasions when it said, and many of the priests were obedient to the truth. Well, thank the Lord for that. And I don't know just how these fellows took when that happened. But we just don't find these fellows, very many of them. In fact, right now, I don't recall one of them. Unless it might have been Nicodemus that was ever saved. Now, so the author asked the question, can you not imagine the people laughing at such a grotesque idea, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel? Now, the part of the country that I came from, we had a gnat season there, usually in the spring of the year. And sometimes they were so bad that you had to make screens to put over the horse's nose while you were plowing swan, to keep them from breathing so many of those gnats up their noses till it got into their lungs. And a gnat is a pretty aggravating outfit, but they're little bitty ones. And so if some of them says, may all your troubles be little ones. Well, that was the case with the gnats, and they were a lot of trouble. And so these people now, for Jesus to expose the glaring inconsistency of the religious leaders, Jesus intended this simile to be absurd. The word strain means literally to strain out a gnat. Now, I don't know whether they use cheesecloth or what they use. Really, I think it had to be something a little finer if it had been in our part of the country. Something with a finer mesh than a cheesecloth. All right, now Trent says that it was the custom of the stricter Jews to strain their wine, vinegar, and other potables through linen or gauze, lest unaware they should drink down some unclean insect therein and thus transgress. Leviticus 11:2, 20, 23, 41, and 42. Just as the Buddhists do in Ceylon and Hindustan. Now, the camel was the largest animal known to the Jew, and the gnat the smallest insect, both being by the law unclean. And those fellows that have been over there have told me that it sure would be nice if they'd have those camels to gargle with about a gallon of Listerine every morning before they started out on their trip. Well, they were unclean. Now, the Pharisees were guilty, now get this, of magnifying non-essentials and neglecting essential values. Now, we hear so many people say, oh, let's get away from these non-essential things and let's just get the fundamentals. And you'll hear those kind of guys who say, well, now, it's fundamental. We must accept the doctrine that Jesus was virgin born and reconciliation, so on. But now, about this baptism, oh, why be so strict? Same thing with the Lord's Supper. Why be so strict on it? Just let anybody that claims to be a Christian come in and partake of the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to say this until you dream about it at night. You can't extend the Lord's Supper any further than you can carry church discipline. And you have no right to discipline the member of another church. Therefore, somebody that the church doesn't have the power of discipline over ought not to partake of the Lord's Supper for that congregation. Oh yeah, that's for it. A number of years ago, I read an article by Brother Alton Trawick, who is a missionary in one of the islands of the Hawaiian group. And he was talking about, I said, oh, you always hear about people whenever they write an article on the apostasy, they'll talk about how far the Methodists have gone away and how far the Presbyterians have gone away and how far this, that, and the other. Says the plain point of the thing is they never were all the way to the truth anyhow. And he went on to say this has reference to New Testament churches going away. Well, I kind of wanted to disagree with him. But the next time I see Brother Trawick, I'm going to tell him face to face that I'm one of his converts. Because I really believe that that means New Testament churches that are going away from the truth. Now, it's startling that you can count. I believe you'll have to count on more by the truth. And you ever noticed about the little word by the truth? Truth costs you something, fellas. Truth costs you something. And it says, buy the truth and sell it not. And sell it not. I told my wife this morning, I sure will be glad when I get a new body. Well, where do I get that idea that I'm going to get a new body? I get it out of the scriptures. And you know, some of these apostates have gone so far as to say they expect them to dig up the bones of Jesus Christ sometime. Well, I don't. And if the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, so shall he quicken these dying bodies. And so I'm getting to need a new one pretty bad. This one sure does need to be traded in. And the point is, when they get that new one, they'll never bring out a new model because it'll be the latest of all time for all eternity. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about just one of the truths of God's Word, and that's the resurrection and the translation. Buy the truth and sell it not. What a hope it is. Now, you can see now the inconsistency of religious apostates, opposers of the truth. Oh, they'll go great lengths to do this, but they're so inconsistent. And Jesus, to make this just as glaring to the people as he could, said they strain out a little old gnat and then turn around and swallow a camel. And that's how inconsistent people are when they go away from one truth. That brings out what I tried to mention yesterday. The Bible, God's truth, is logical. It's logical. Brother Travis was over at my house last night. We usually try to get together every Monday and Tuesday night, and they got gun smoke back on this week, so we're going to try to see it again tonight. But anyhow, after gun smoke last night, we had a pretty good talk. Just a pretty good talk. And we just got to talking something about how wonderful is the truth. But we were going back and beginning to kind of trace this philosophy of education that's gotten in among us, that's beginning to lead people astray. And we were just kind of rejoicing how precious is the truth and how it answers our every problem of the future. And that the Bible is logical. And he asked me, he said, do you have the memoirs of J.N. Hall? And I said, no, sir. Just brought out and said, that man was so logical that he could whip the socks off of an atheist so quick. And so the Lord turned over there and read where this an atheist came in to debate him one time, and Brother Hall was just so exhausted that he couldn't make the first night of it. And all this atheist got up and boasted what all he was going to do. You know, he's going to stay there all 4 nights and know what he's going to do. Well, the next day, Brother Hall got there. And mind you, Brother Hall wasn't even a college man. But he said after the debate that night, this atheist got an urgent call from New York to come home. So he up and left. He got whipped one night. Just one night. Now, fellas, that's what the truth will do. That's what the truth will do. So, stay with me. All right. Well, we've got time to go through another one of these. Here, the parable of the cup and platter, or rather, I'd rather call it the simile of the cup and platter. Be that as it may. 23 verses 25 and 26, we have these words. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites. The word hypocrite just literally means a false face warrior. It's a word used for an actor. One who is acting out the part of another one, but he's not that other person. A pretender. All right, that's what they are. For you clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion, praise, spoil, plunder, and grasping self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the plate, so the outside may be clean also. Now, several years ago, I got Lois to buy her a new dishwasher, because when she had to wash her dishes, looked like she spent about half of her time washing dishes. She's getting older, giving out this, that, and the other, and we in the pious welfare, my mother got one of the old coffin Maytags back in 1937. And if that thing had been anywhere kept care of, it would still be washing today. So I talked my wife into buying her a Maytag dishwasher. And she did. And you know what? That thing is rigged up to where it washes the inside of the plates and the cups and the saucers and so on, as well as the outside. Now, if you were going to eat out of a plate that had been partially washed, which part would you rather be washed? Inside. That's just sensible. Inside. All right. Now he makes the note here that Luke adds, you fools. Did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? Reminds me last night, Mr. Arafat being on the news. And I got to watching him. Finally I told Brother Travis, I said, if the rest of him were turned the wrong side outwards as much as his lips are, we could see what's on the inside of him. Well, Did not he that made that which is without make also that which is within? That comes from Luke 11 and 40. Which implies he to whom belongs the outer life and of the right demands and of right demands its subjection to himself is the inner man less his. Now, Campbell Morgan calls the figure of speech Jesus used here graphically disgusting, and goes on to say that certainly nothing more could be more loathsome than a dirty cup inside when the outside was clean. But Jesus used the figure intelligently. It was disgusting. Luke's addition is of immense value, but rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. Matthew 11:41. The Pharisees were meticulous about external cleanliness, but their hearts were the habitation of every form of corruption and evil. They had clean bodies, but corrupt hearts. And to show you just how